This is the American Dream, Dustin Rhodes, son of a plumber, daddy, and you're listening to the Bob Culture Podcast.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome in to a very marvelous episode of the BCP. Very excited for this one. Let's be real, guys. This one is long overdue. And ahead of his appearance at Titan Kids and Funhouse of Wrestling presents Bringing the House Down this Saturday, August 14th. Tickets are still available in Bayville, New Jersey. Get your tickets now, guys. Please welcome into the show. He is the current, reigning, and defending Funhouse American Lucha champion right now and a former MFPW middleweight medallion holder. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Please welcome someone who's always marvelous, Mr. Marvelous. Welcome in, bro. How are you, man?
Hey, man. Thanks for having me. Honestly, it's a pleasure. I finally get to be on with you because I see you doing, you know, podcasts or everybody else. I'm like, I got to get on. I got to tell my side of things.
Absolutely, man. And I'll keep it very real with you, man. I don't like, you know, wear a company hat and say, I got to get this guy. Like, I see what everyone brings to the ring. I see what you brought to the ring. I was there when you won that title, man. We'll talk about that in that Fatal 4-Way. I called that match. Excited to be calling your match with Jay Bougie. We'll talk about that in a little bit, man. But you've been doing great things. I always like the high flying. I like the flippity stuff. I came into the business around the Ruthless Aggression era. So Rey Mysterio was my guy, dude. So I love that stuff. I love your style in the ring, man. And everyone's different, man. Even when I came into commentary, I'm like, this is my philosophy. This is who Rob Williams is going to be. What is your philosophy when you get in between those ropes? Who is Marvelous between the ropes?
Marvelous is really just the inner me, just brought out to light, basically, no pun intended. Honestly, the style that I grew up during the New Generation Attitude era, and I've been just watching ever since. So, like, I know wrestling has changed now, and I know that, of course, they expect somebody my size. Of course, I grew up watching the Cruiserweights in WCW. I grew up idolizing Rey Mysterio. I grew up wanting to do all that stuff, but I wasn't blessed with the gymnastics, you know. Can't do the good old backflips or moonsaults perfectly or anything like that, but I've always been in competition ever since I was 3 years old. I've been in kickboxing. I've done multiple competitions, so about the age of 18. Besides the mixed martial arts, I did play a little basketball, so that's where I get my athleticism from. Okay. But again, I'm not flipping. I'm ready to kick you in your face. And that's kind of what I like to bring. I like to kind of just show people, like, hey, man, expect the unexpected, because you think I'm going to come out here and fly around. I'll kick you in your face, and then I'll double stomp you from the top if you want your aerial assault. So that's just what I kind of like to bring and mix that vibe up, you know. Expect the unexpected, man.
I've seen it, man. And how was it for you making that transition from kickboxing? Obviously, you mentioned basketball. Shane, if you're listening, basketball part two. He says he plays, man. Just putting that out into the world. But Marvelous, tell us how it was making that transition to the world of wrestling from those other sports.
Honestly, to me, I think it's always been an easy transition because for me, wrestling, at least, has always been there. I don't know anything else but wrestling. It's been in my life. My first pay-per-view WrestleMania was literally watching Shawn Michaels versus Bret Hart in an Iron Man match. And, like, as cheesy as it is, like, I would never forget him. Like, my dad had a little black box back in the day in the 90s. You know, he had a steel cable. And there was Vince McMahon's, like, the boyhood dream. And, like, that got me hooked. So it was between that and Power Rangers and then me wanting to do mixed martial arts around that time frame that I was always just wrestling, basically. I was always, you know, literally acting like I'm fighting or doing something or getting hit, selling. So for me, just once I got in the ring, finally, it felt natural. It felt like I was supposed to be here all along. And that's just how I feel in there, you know? So it's a great feeling. And that transition was just easy.
I love it, man. Well, you're doing great things in the ring right now. I love, you know, that's my style, man, the stuff you do in the ring, man. So I definitely had my eye on you for a while. But at the same time, I want to have guys on right before they have a big match, you know, help the promotions out as well. It's win-win for everybody. So thank you again for making the time. But more importantly, who was your favorite Ranger?
Was my favorite. You know, I'm gonna be like everybody when I say this.
It's Tommy.
But let's be real here. I think we could all agree. My favorite Ranger was a Pink Ranger. That was my first crush, of course. Came on.
Kimberly. Well, I still love Kimberly. She's amazing. That's right. That's a great answer, man. And more importantly, was HBK like your guy? Because that was like the moment, I guess, that brought you in. Was it always HBK? You mentioned Mysterio. Like, who was your guy? And who's a guy you're kind of watching right now?
Well, as far as back in the day, I'll give you my two guys that I mix in there with my character. It's literally Shawn and Undertaker, because ooh, when I Undertaker come out in his purple gloves and everything, I used to run away into the room, and then I didn't want to come out until I heard Shawn Michaels, because when Shawn Michaels would come out, everybody would love him. The ladies would try to grab him and kiss him, and I used to see that. I'm like, wow, like, I want to be like him. I want everyone to love me. Like, and of course, you know, during 97, 98, Shawn, you know, starts to get a little bit, you know, over the top, and I start doing things over the top, and my mom's yelling at me, telling me, don't you do that, and you can't watch this. But I'm like, I'm just a sexy boy, you know? So
nice, nice.
So it's, of course, as I got older, you know, I respected the Undertaker. I just love the Undertaker's aura. You know, obviously it's no secret, I'm not 6'10", you know, so I don't have that massive aura, but I still feel like I can at least present something. And my aura is a lot bigger than who I really am. And I feel like the Undertaker just presents that. Just watch him come down in 98 and 99, coming down to that cool ass theme song he had, of was a Mystery of Darkness theme song, right?
Oh, and he just, so many good ones, yeah.
Wow, he's got the flames, and then JR is going off talking about, like, you got to beat that guy. And I'm just like, yeah, I want to be him. Let me grow my hair. I'll at least kind of feel like the Undertaker. But I really take those two styles, and then I take just basically just me in general, who I am as a person. I'm actually a very spiritual person. I'm a very chill person. I honestly don't watch TV. I'm your typical, like, I wouldn't want to say hippie, but, like, I'm lighting up incense in my room, and I'm chilling, and I'm hanging out next to my crystals. I'm not really doing anything else unless I'm, you know, obviously working or wrestling. So I just take all that, and I just try to make that into one being, and that's how Marvelous comes about, you know?
That's interesting to hear, man. It's I always say, you know, everyone in wrestling is two people, obviously. You know, there's so much going on with wrestling. I'm still figuring out who Rob Williams is. Let's be real, as I'm getting my foot in the door, and I'm very appreciative of that, man. But you say you're very chill, man, because I've seen so many of these interactions you've had with other people, obviously with Jay Bougie. I saw something where you guys were outside a venue having words, like, it really got escalated. So I didn't know if you were always like that intense, or it's just these rivalries. Daniel Alexander, another one. Like, I just thought you were really intense, man.
Well, everybody's been testing me, you know, when,
yeah,
before I lost the medallion. Everybody always wants to test the champion, no matter what company I'm at. You know, Daniel Alexander definitely brought the best out of me. I'm very quiet, but I'm just one of those people that when I strike, and I get real aggressive. When I'm in that ring and I'm throwing them kicks and I'm throwing them elbows, I'm yelling and I'm going, that's really me right there. Other than that, I like to keep it contained. I like to keep it chill. Because I see how wrestlers are. And of course, like, you see how Jay Bougie is. You know, of course, he's loud. You know, he's always there. He's got to be there. And Jay Bougie, man, I hope you're watching this, man, because you know what this is about, man. He's always saying that I'm ducking him or I'm avoiding him because I don't really talk much. I keep to myself. And it's like I always say, man, nobody's ducking. Nobody has to check in. Nobody has to do nothing. Everybody wants me, and I don't have to make as much noise as he does. You know, he wants the attention. He wants the gold. That's what it is. I get that as a human. I get that. I respect that. But come this Saturday, you're going to see a whole different side. I preach about shedding my light and my love to everyone. But with light, there's shadows. Wow. So you'll see the shadows this Saturday for sure. And I think everybody now is kind of pushing me to that, because I over the last, since, man, since the, over the past pandemic, since the pandemic happened, we've been back rocking and rolling now, state to state, wrestling. And I'm starting to get these opportunities that I've never got before. And they've all been opportunities against great wrestlers like Anthony Bennett, you know, guys like Ricky Ray, Sahim Ali, got in a ring with Falaba. Like, I got in a ring with these guys that like I'm getting these opportunities with. And then I see like my worth now. And I see how much like hard work I put in, and I see that it's paying off every time I have these matches. And these matches, they, to me, I always like to keep wrestling as a big fight feel. I'm not gonna go out there and I'm not the wrestler where I'm going to have fun. I'm not that guy. I apologize. If I can't connect with you like that having fun, I'm sorry. At the end of the day, for me, this is a competition. This is serious. This is go time. And I'm always, whether if I'm a champion or I'm in the championship picture, I want people to know that when my music hit, it's a big fight feel. And that's exactly what I've been bringing to the Monster Factory. I mean, let alone, like, I took the middleweight division, which was a division that was literally just to the pre-show. To the pre-show. You know, it was a medallion to the pre-show. Nobody cared about it. But since I won it back in February and I had it for 140 days, it went from the pre-show to the co-main event, one of the biggest events that we had, which was Larry Cup Memorial. And me and Daniel Alexander fought on the pre-show 3 years ago to try to get a chance to just be noticed and to be in that middleweight division. Now we're we got ladders involved, and you know, and not only just my matches with Daniel Alexander, but just my matches also outside, you know, at Funhouse, also at High in the Hex. You know, that's someone who I respect, and of course I trained with. He has taken me under his wing when I first started. So getting to wrestle him at Funhouse was literally, man, was just awesome. You know, they were trying to hide it. They didn't want to tell me who was my opponent or anything like that. And at the very last minute, they're like, it's Hex. I'm like, see you in a ring, guy, you know?
Wow.
Bringing the best out of me, you know, and I want that. And I'm motivated. I'm hungry. Like, I want to get better and better, you know? And I just feel like I just got to keep doing that. Just keep working on me and just trying to become the best I can. I know in this business is hard, and this business is literally like winning the lottery. But if when the opportunity is there, I'm going to be ready for it.
Very, very well said, man. You mentioned so many names. Let's start with Daniel Alexander. Let's talk about that, man, because obviously you mentioned that rivalry, how far you guys have come. But more importantly, that ladder match, was that like, and I saw a lot of that, man. That's just amazing. Even the build for that. Was that your first like ladder match?
Yeah, if you're not including my stuffed animals in the backyard when I wanted to be Jeff Hardy.
Nice, nice.
that was my first ladder match. And wow, yeah, we didn't know what to expect going into it. I don't know how to plan for a ladder match. How do you plan for a ladder match?
Yeah, right.
You know,
couldn't tell. We
went out there, and as soon as he picked me up, I'm like, oh my god, he's not going to slam on that ladder. He's not going to slam on the ladder. Slams on the ladder. Of course, you know, the adrenaline and everything. I don't feel nothing. We're smacking each other with the ladders. I go up to the top. I hit my double foot stomp, and then I land on the ladder. I don't know if you got to see that video. Where I hit the edge of the ladder.
Yeah.
I was feeling fine, but then I'm going to tell you, for a week and a half, I was not feeling fine at all. I was definitely ice on my back. I didn't train for a week and a half. So, yeah, definitely takes a toll on you. I mean, they're not aluminum ladders. They're your regular Home Depot ladders.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen it at many, many matches, man. But that's good to see. Like, you were ready to go with that, man. It's like one of those things. I hear so many different things, like when people get injured and stuff. Like, what's going on here? I'm sorry, man. Jay Bougie. So, Jay, well, obviously this is for Marvelous right now. Jay Bougie, obviously on the pod right now, former guest, obviously the challenger for the American Lucha Championship this Saturday. Jay Bougie, I mean, what are you doing here? I know you have some words. You guys have been back and forth. I can't even remember for how long. Jay Bougie, I told you this is Marvelous this time, bro. I knew you had some words, though.
Yeah, I got words with him. Because you thought he was going to come in here, you thought it was going to be sweet, right? You're going to come in here, you're going to have your... You're training right now, right? Because you're panicking. Wow. You know what's going to happen on Saturday. You know what's going to happen on Saturday. So you're out there, let me try my best. Let me get my last little rounds in. Because you're panicking. And you thought he's going to come on here, have a good old time and talk. Nah. Because I'm not letting you duck me at all. At all. You understand what I'm saying? Because like... I need you to understand that, like, come this Saturday, like, I don't care if it's for the kids. I don't care about the Titans out there. I'm going to whoop your ass. I am. And I'm going to beat you like you stole something from me. Because you did. Because you did. Understand that. So keep checking in. Now, I'm going to let you have your moment here. Because I'm going to get up out of here. So you sit with this and you understand that come Saturday, it will be and new. God bless.
Wow. Wow. Just like, and he just takes off just like that. I apologize for that, Marvelous. I told him on Twitter, this was your time. This was your show. I said, we already had you on. You have the floor. I know this is a big match. I apologize for that. But obviously, he's trying to live rent-free in your head. I've seen this before.
I mean, he tries, but he's not. That's the thing. He's not. I understand it. I understand the frustration. As you can see, he says I'm ducking him. I want to tell you something. I've been to the last couple of UWA shows where Funhouse has been represented.
Shout out to PWA. They're great.
Can't find Bougie at all. Where's Bougie, huh? He wants to be the face of this company. He wants to be the champion of this company. But where's Bougie at when it counts? But you know who they call? They call the champion. And I go over there, and I'm looking for Bougie where I don't got to check in. You know why I don't got to check in? Because they call me to be there. Wow. I hope that he, like he says, he wants to beat me like I stole something. I want him to bring that fire. I want him to bring that energy. Because I have all the anger and all the frustration built up. Because I've been feeling actually disrespected. Because actually, now that you brought him up here, actually, this is a good point now.
Please.
Ever since we started the Funhouse, I became the champion. I've been feeling a little cast aside almost. You know, at first I was like, you know, cool. I'll let it off.
Sure.
I see that no matter how much noise and how many times Bougie disrespects me, it seems like whether if it's you or if it's anybody else or just the fans in general, you guys like it. You guys are almost cheering it on almost. And you're almost like egging him on and almost like, yeah, Bougie, you're going to get him. Because I see the comments. I see how everybody wants me to lose. I get messages from a bunch of people telling me how, like, they're going to, Bougie don't get to me, they're going to get to me first, you know? Wow. And it's almost like, wow, it's almost like the disrespect. And you have Titan, where I wanted just to bring the fire out. I said, hey, let's see who's going to steal the show. And then Titan, the company Titan, goes under my comments and tells me how they got their eye on Bougie and how they all should be worried about the match. And see, so now they're all with Bougie. Everybody's with Bougie. Everybody loves Bougie. Great. Awesome. So with that being said, the light, the fun, everything is over. It's going to be complete darkness. And this Saturday, like I said it before, Bougie, I hope you're listening. Beware of the shadows.
Wow. Very well said, sir. And obviously a lot going into this match. Real quick, rewinding a little bit. Where did it start with you guys? Was it that fatal four-way match? Was it at the beginning of Funhouse? Or you guys have crossed paths over the years?
Actually, no. The first time when I met him was at the fatal four-way. Yeah. And I guess he just felt like I wasn't deserving, which was fine. He didn't get the pinfall. I did. You know, and we were supposed to actually have our championship match back in the 17th of June, I believe. But of course, due to weather conditions, you know, of course, that didn't happen. And of course, Bougie goes on his rant because he's acting like I can control the weather. I mean, hey, I wish I could control all that. We're pretty cool. Right. Yeah. So he's been kind of just a little bitter ever since because he's waited so long for his opportunity. And honestly, I'm actually excited that he's finally getting his opportunity because I'm finally get to kick his face in.
Wow, very well said. And again, I apologize for the interruption. We know Jay Bougie was all over this as soon as we announced the interview. I had a feeling, but I appreciate you just keeping it real with us. And obviously, guys, all the talking is going to be done between the ropes August 14th, obviously, at Funhouse and Titan Kids. So we'll see what happens, man. I'll be on the call. I'll be very impartial, of course. And I'll give you this one, and this is completely regardless, I just like to ask everyone this is one of my favorite questions as I'm learning the business a little bit. And this has nothing to do with your rivalry. We'll take that out of it. Any of that kind of stuff. Your advice to, as being an in-ring performer, to me sitting at the commentary table calling a match, what advice would you have for me telling your guys' story in the ring?
As far as our story, honestly, the only advice I would just say is, honestly, it's up to also to the wrestlers, us, myself, to come up to you guys also, to guys let you know also too. We'll let you know what the story is. But if you're just like, if your guy is coming up brand new and you want to learn, then I would just go ahead and talk to the wrestlers and come out to them, ask them, hey, where can I do? What part here is it? Because, you know, some announcers, they like to be surprised. Some commentators, I mean, they like to be surprised. So some I want to know, I always like to give the commentators a little bit of direction. I made that mistake. I made a mistake at Funhouse. I didn't get to speak to you. I didn't know you at the time. I didn't even know they were even doing commentary at the time. I wish I did.
Neither did I. No, I was greener than Kermit the Frog. Please, no, man.
Right. So, like, I didn't know that, right? So it's funny because I tagged you into this. So I went back and I watched my match with Hyena Hex, and I remember you and Bella were talking about, like, hashtag Flippy or like some dress, some fashion show. Anyway, things you guys got going on, right? And I'm just like, I'm over here working so hard. Why are you not talking about my match? And they're cheering.
Sure.
But again, that's also the wrestler's job also to communicate with that. You know, make sure, hey, listen, this is a story. I want you guys to focus in on this. you know, because I'm big on that. Like, I like going back and listening, and it makes the moment that I'm doing a lot bigger just by the words, you know, by your expression of how you feel about it, you know. And if it's not genuine and you don't believe it, then I'm not doing my job right. Yeah. You know, so that's pretty much my advice. It's just, it's more on the wrestler's part too, really. Mainly the wrestler's part to come out to you and let you know that.
No, that's very fair, man. And very well said. Like, cause I learn every time I get out there. And a lot of what I notice is sometimes you get caught up on what your narrative is going on at the table or whatever. Obviously we're talking to Bella at the time. So we're, you know, like, what do you like? You know, Titan Kids and all this stuff. She's doing a great job. Shout out to Bella, by the way, who's done a great job putting this show together. Great interview with IRS, shameless promo, check that out. But you bring up a very good point. I got to do commentary with Riley at Wanted Dead or Alive. Riley Shepherd, shout out to her, the Gladiator Goddess. And she was very good at bringing it back to the ring. Like, even when we had those little moments, bringing it back. And that's something I learned from her, actually. So now I always try to get right back to the action, because that's what's going on, man. And you do some crazy stuff. We're going to have a lot to say about this match. Again, guys, August 14th. I can't wait, man. But let's move on. I want to talk about, obviously, the shirt you're wearing. Obviously, you are always here, man. I can tell this is home for you. The Monster Factory, obviously, pro wrestling. A lot of amazing products have come out of there. A lot of friends of mine go there, man. And I can tell this is a special place to you, man. Even when we're scheduling the podcast, you're like, I train this day. You know, I think you're helping out some other people as well. You're doing some good things. Tell us how you got involved with Monster Factory and what that means to you.
So I actually, I feel to me, at least I started in the business a little late. I'm not 18. I'm not 20, even though I look like I am. So I was actually just at a job one time, and I used to listen to wrestling podcasts all day long. I was listening to Austin's podcast, and they had Danny Cage on. And Danny Cage started talking about the Monster Factory and this and that. And I'm like, oh, that's only 40 minutes from me. Like, how come I didn't notice? Because, like, I will go to these other little wrestling promotions or whatever, but they weren't near, like, the Monster Factory, like how the history and how the people train and everything like that. So I heard that, and then I go on Twitter just to go on my Twitter, and just so happens the Monster Factory pops up talking about there's an open house. I'm like, well, I guess this is destined to be. If I'm going to do something, I have to do it now. Because I was a manager at this warehouse. I was doing forklifting. I was making good money, but I wasn't happy as a person. Like, I at the time, I didn't have no, you know, I'm single. I have no kids. So I'm like, I got to do something now. So as I went to the Monster Factory for the open house, I drove past the factory three times. Three times because, like, listen, man, I know what this wrestling thing is about, and I know I do not look like Roman Reigns. I know I do not look like John Cena or anything like that, but I really do believe in myself. And I stepped in there with about, there was 10 people there, and we got in the ring, and I felt the ring, and I'm like, ooh. And then four of us signed up out of the 10. That was Thursday. I think that was a Tuesday. It was a Tuesday. By Thursday, I was the only one left.
Really? Wow.
I was left, and I just came every single day, and I will stay till about 2-3 o'clock in the morning. Dan will see that I'm here, so like, he didn't even mind. Training will be done. I'm here at 7. I don't leave till 3 in the morning. And then I go to work at 6 in the morning. I get out of work at 3, come back up to the factory up here by 6:37. And I kept doing it over and over and over again. And I was staying with guys like Travis Jacobs, Hyena Hex, Jafar, Tiger Watson, Primal Fear. You know, I was staying with those guys at nights. And those guys literally just took me under their wing because they seen that I wanted it, you know? And ever since then, I mean, I never, ever looked back. I has changed my life completely because I used to be literally in the dark always. And that's kind of how I came up with this character where it's like, I'm all about my light. You know, like, this is my light. This is the best you see me. Every time I'm training, every time I'm on a show, this is the best version of me. Because before that, I was nothing. Like, I was absolutely nothing. And I didn't know what I was going to do in life or what I wanted to do. So the Monster Factory, I'm forever in debt to them. I do everything. I do. I try to do every show. Actually, this Saturday will be the first show I'm not on in 3 years. So,
because you got Titan.
Because I got Titan, you know, which, you know, I love Titan. Funhouse, all them guys over there. But it's almost like, oh, it kind of feels weird right now. It's almost like, oh man, they're going to have a show here at home and I'm not going to be here, you know? But now that I'm starting to go out in other places and branch out more, like I'm starting to understand all the hard work I've been putting in. Like, this is what I'm working for. So keep going. You know, I'm not trying to settle, but I'm still going to come here every single day. I'm still going to train because this is exactly where we're the best train at home. You know, the best around. I mean, guys got Damian Priest, Matt Riddle on TV right now just last night. Those guys were here. Taught me how to run the ropes. You know, like those guys were here, and not just them, but you got LSG, you know, you got other guys like QT Marshall and all them guys and Nick Camarado, and of course, other guys in AEW, and you got guys all over. And there's a little monster factory in all professional wrestling.
Yeah.
Literally is. And I feel like sometimes the monster factory, I guess, is intimidating for, I guess, outside people that see it, because of course they want to go to their hardcore deathmatch wrestling or get their kendo sticks, and you know, that's cool, that's great, but over here it's straight professional. Of course you got that shirt, that was that the WWE shirt, right?
Yeah, the old NXT signee performance center shirt.
That is what we train for. That is what we train for, to get that picture and get it hung up on the wall. What if it's that? What if it's a AW or Impact? That's what we work for, you know? And I love it here. I really do. And it's almost night and day, because when I go out to these other places, here, I'm very, I'm nervous. I want to put on the best show. I'm super freaking out, even to this day.
Really?
But then watch, this Saturday, I'm going to go to Funhouse, and I'm going to be just fine. I have fun. I was just at a county fair for UWA this past Sunday. I was fun having the kids, you know, it was like no stress, but it's almost like here, it's like, I know that there's always somebody watching. I just don't know who. And I had to be on. I had to be on my game here. Everybody here has to be on the game. Everybody steps up from top to bottom. Everyone. Now we got the new crop of guys that the smaller guys that are almost my size, they all want to be middleweight champions now. So it's like, before that wasn't even a thing. That was just holding a medallion, you know, and people are like, oh, that's just a medallion. I'm like, no, man, that's a championship. This is what it means to me. This is what I made it. Now all these people coming up now, and I see how they're so passionate like I was, like, I love it. Like, I love how this is going to keep going, and the monster fact to keep going forever, man. You know, I mean, just the crop of talent is going to be coming out, especially out here soon now. I mean, I made some of the my best of friends, you know, no secret. I'm best friends with everybody in the division. Of course, you're familiar with all of them. You know, those are my riding guys. You know, Mimi, Benjamin King, TJ, Jafar, all those guys. I ride with them. And we just try to be the best and try to put on no matter where we're at.
Yeah, man, you beat me to it. That was my next question, man. And I'm not having fun with this. I notice things. I pay you, like you always say, you don't know who's watching, man. I pay attention to little things. I'm a details guy. I see who you roll with. I see you guys have had some amazing adventures. I see what you share. It begs the question, man, and you certainly don't have to answer it. Any thoughts of joining a faction like the likes of A Division?
I think if the time's right and it's necessary, I think we could have some fun. You know, obviously right now it's been no secret. I've been nothing but focusing on myself for a very long time, but there's a lot of people that want to test me. And I have so many people to deal with. So who knows? Like I always say, beware of the shadows, because you never know what shadows are really lurking.
Very well said. And like I always say, I don't always agree with their tactics, but you can't knock the intelligence of Mr. Benjamin King. You can't knock the gold around the waist and both arms of Mimi. Let's be real. TJ getting championships everywhere. The division, I mean, is a force to be reckoned with. They're very smart. They're very methodical. Again, I don't always agree with their methods, but they've always intrigued me, man. And I could see there being a fit there with you for sure, because you're doing great things as well. I wanted to talk about this. You talk about actually still getting anxious and getting excited. Like I'm a drummer, man. So I'm kind of at a point now, like before I go on stage, I got like my little rituals and stuff, and I'm pretty focused, but I get it. Like sometimes you just get that excitement and stuff like that. Do you have any like pre-match rituals or anything like that before you go through the curtain?
Yeah. So no secret, when I go behind Gorilla, especially at the Monster Factory, everybody clears out the way. I'm pacing back and forth, ready to kill somebody, because that's, I need to feel that. I need to come out there and it's go time. So I'll pace back and forth. I'll slap my body. I'll slap my legs. I'll look up, I take a deep breath, go to the curtain, and every time you see me go to that curtain, you see me take another deep breath, and then it's focus, it's go time. But yeah, behind that curtain, man, I am a complete, I guess it depends on who I'm wrestling and the stakes of the match. I'll tell you what, for that ladder match, I was pacing back and forth all day. So everybody was out of my way. Everybody, don't talk to me. Everybody knew not to talk to me that day. You know, so that's my ritual, is just pacing back and forth like a lion in a cage. Yeah. And once I feel great. Once I'm done, I'm like, oh, thank God I'm done.
Yeah. And then it's like, yeah, it's like, you're nice to everybody. Hey, how you doing? Like, yeah, but I like that intensity. I can see that in you. You bring that to the ring, man. That's amazing. We always like to ask this question. This is our favorite question to ask. Say you do get that WrestleMania moment, and obviously there's been opportunity. My favorite word, we'll talk about that in a little bit. Say you are walking down that ramp. What band or artist plays you down to the ring?
Oh, man. What artist plays you? See, I haven't heard so much from them in such a while, but I don't know if you've ever heard of them. Flatbush Zombies, they're big wrestling fans from the New York area. Them and like Denzel Curry, they're just, these guys are kind of like underground hip hops. I don't know if they're still underground. I know they're a little bit more mainstream now. I will kind of have them, but like if it had to be somebody that's famous that everybody knows, I, for some reason, I don't know why, but I would love to have Rihanna.
I love Riri. I love Rihanna. I actually saw her at a Nets game before she was famous. She was like a halftime show with that Ponde replay song, because Jay-Z owned the Nets at that time. So I actually got to see her like before she was big. But I love Riri. Come on.
I know that's kind of really random. I don't know if that will fit with my character, but I feel like she could hum something really nice in the background. And I just want to be like, hey, I brought Rihanna to WrestleMania. Like, that's just kind of like my bragging of it, you know? Oh, like, yeah, I got WrestleMania to you guys, you know, so it would have to be Rihanna. That's funny you mentioned that, because these are things that I've thought about before. Like, who would be that, you know?
Awesome. No, that's awesome, man. I love Rihanna. And congrats to Rihanna, who is now officially a billionaire, which is just amazing. So good for her.
Good for her.
Yeah, man. And you mentioned, and I'm expecting a very politically correct answer here, but moving forward, man, and not to be cliche, but you mentioned the impacts. You know, you mentioned my shirt, you know, maybe you want to rock one of these one day. AEW has been giving so many people shine. I'm so thankful for that. A lot of my friends have been on the show. Some are signed right now. A couple of them bought a new house. And I'm like, you're signed. And shout to our friend Joey Silver, who's on Dark tonight. Joey Sweets coming on tonight from the Nightmare Factory. That's amazing. So shout to him. But there's so much opportunity, man. I would love to see you on an episode of Dark. What are the goals for you moving forward? Is it a certain location? Is it the right fit? What are the goals for you, sir?
Right now, it's just more of the opportunities presenting itself and me being there and being ready. I'm definitely right now still working on myself. I still want to get a complete better shape. And I want to still have more matches underneath my belt. But like I said, the goal is, the opportunity is there. I'm ready to go. And that's why I'm trying to train every single day, because you just never know. They'll call. They'll literally be like, hey, we need so-and-so at this weight and this size. You have them here, send them, boom. And your life changes like that, you know? And I've seen it. I've seen it with people here. I've literally seen people that literally just one day they're having a normal conversation. They're training like me. And the next day they're gone. And they're now dating a bigger company, you know? And it's possible. Everything's possible. When I see that, it motivates me. I don't have not one in particular goal, you know? But right now my focus is just trying to be the best of my craft and just try to get noticed as much as I can, because I know that's one thing. There's one thing that you can do in this business to try to get known, is just for you just to branch out and to connect with as many people as you can, because ultimately that's what you're going to need at the end of the day, is that connection with just not the audience, but with individuals within the company, you know, because you never know what they want. You know, from one week they might just want a small guy, the next week they want a big guy. But if I'm right there in the same room when they're asking, they need a small guy, well, I guess I'm getting that opportunity, you know? So I'm just, that's all. Just prepare myself and just getting ready, man, for any opportunity, man. It's ready. It's coming. And I feel it. I can see it. And I'm just going to keep going with that rod. Well, if it happens tomorrow or if it happens in 5 years, right now, I'm motivated, man.
I love it, man. And that's a great answer, man, because you're looking at it from all angles. And that's a pretty cool perspective. You're like, I'm literally here in a room where people have left this room because they got that phone call, man. That's a pretty cool perspective, man. And I like that you weren't like, oh, that gives me like, you know, a chip on my shoulder. I mean, I'm sure in some ways a chip on a shoulder is good, but you're like, you know, this makes me see, hey, dreams can come true. There is opportunity, man. And that's a fantastic, fantastic answer. And I hope to see you. AEW's coming to New York, just saying that. Hope to see you involved with them or some other companies moving forward. You're doing great things. Always gold around the waist, medallion. This guy's doing it all real quick. Marvelous. Thank you for making the time, man. I want to be respectful. I know you're over there training, but tell everyone where they can follow you on socials and get the merch.
Hey, you guys can all follow me at MarvelousXCII, and that's on Twitter and Instagram. I prefer people not to follow me on Facebook, but for all my promoters out there and podcasters listening right there, you guys could all follow me on Facebook at Marvelous Marcelo. Also, too, if you guys want to buy my merch, ProWrestlingTee/Marvelous. That's where you can get all my merch there, man. And hey, listen, thank you for having me. Actually, I love the background and stuff that you got going on in the room right there. Like I said, like, I wanted to get on your show here for a while, man. So it's an honor and a pleasure. So thanks for having me.
Dude, you beat me to it. I was going to say, it's long overdue. We've had our eye on you for a while, man. And I think this was the right time. Obviously, there's a lot of momentum going into this one, guys. Again, Marvelous defending his title against Jay Bougie in Bayville, New Jersey. That's August 14th. Shameless promo. Tickets are still available. I'm excited to call this one. It's going to be great, man. And may the best man win. Marvelous, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time. Stay safe out there. I'll see you Saturday. And just continued success in your career, man. Thank you so much.
You too, man. Thank you.
Got you, bro. And like we always say here on the BCP, everyone stay safe, stay positive, take care of each other. We're out. Peace.